Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We got Jason Witten with some very good audio on the future of the Cowboys. Was there a chance it was ever going to include him with the Ben Rogers, Adam Schefter story, his first season in the Monday Night Football booth? But we have to start off with the news of the day. What the heck is John Elway doing in Denver with his quarterback situations? The Denver Broncos trade a mid-round pick, many people thinking that it's going to be a fourth rounder, to the Baltimore Ravens for Joe freaking Flacco.
There's some people smoking weed.
This got roasted. When I woke up from the nap, actually, I think I may have even...
It happened while we were in the meeting with the boss.
Yeah, but then I woke up, or I can't remember if it was before or after I went to sleep, but I just clicked on Flacco trending, and the jokes and the memes and the gifs or the gifs, that was the highlight of my day. It was not Dirk versus D-Wade. It was the roasting of John Elway for this deal. And, yeah, you could argue that Joe Flacco is better than Case Keenum, but they're basically the same. It makes the Case Keenum signing look stupid. And this one looks dumb because Joe Flacco, heading into next season, is going to be making $18.5 million, 18.5, and then he's going to make 20, and then he's going to make 24. Those will also be the cap hits for those upcoming seasons. Now, the good news is none of them are guaranteed. So after Flacco plays this year and he stinks, which he will, he'll be making 18, but you won't be on the hook for 20 and 24. But if he's good and they want to stay with him, then you're paying Joe Flacco those money.
Yeah, amounts. I mean, $18 million for a quarterback is fairly inexpensive. So you're going to get what you pay for. You're going to get a bad quarterback. And that, you know, Joe's not very good. Let's be real.
No, he hasn't been good for a while. He is the AFC version of Eli Manning. We've said that for
a long time.
Years on this show.
Years and years and years. And, you know, Flacco, for all that,
and
my
Eli's
God.
Eli's probably a little bit better.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to have a...
I don't know.
I'm not going to fight you.
That's
on
a tough one.
Whatever your opinion is, but...
Look, I mean, from the Broncos standpoint, this is completely trying to hang on to whatever's left with this team. But there ain't anything left with them. There's very little. There's very, very little left. I don't understand. Are they going to cut Manny Sanders to free up some cash? Is that what they're going to do?
Case Keenum, 2 years, $36 million deal.
Yeah, there you go.
He's got 18 left on his.
Right. So you're going to be paying more money for those two quarterbacks than Green Bay's paying for Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of crazy. It's a little bit nuts. John Elway, for all the flack Jerry gets, John Elway gets nothing. And he gets no flack because he was fortunate enough to get some quarterback to play there for 4 years.
With a big neck and a big forehead.
Huge forehead. Huge. And a big scar on the back of his neck.
Bovada moved the Broncos down, okay?
Yeah, because Keenum's a better player.
From 100 to 1 to 125 to 1. That's what happened to their Super Bowl odds. They dropped by 25. 100 to 125 to 1. Here is the internet roasting the Broncos. You have to respect John Elway for trying to preserve his legacy as the greatest Bronco quarterback of all time. Elway in the press release. Now we have a short and a tall Case Keenum. Elway Google search for quarterbacks. Tall white guy with arm strength. That's what everyone keeps talking about with his model.
Yes, Brock, Paxton, Flacco.
Osweiler.
Yeah, Brock.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brock, yeah.
Yeah, so those three. So let's just, he picked Brock over Russell Wilson. Okay, all right, fine, whatever. That's one miss. And then he decides to, eschew the idea of drafting a young quarterback and, get rid of all the... Let's just go with Paxton Lynch. Let's just go
Trevor
with...
Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, well, Trevor Siemian was smaller, but he actually beat out the guy he drafted.
Yeah.
He beat out Paxton Lynch. And then they have Case Keenum, who's not huge, but then they decided to get rid of him. Evidently, John Elway, if you're not 6'6", he wants no part of you. I mean, now Manning wasn't 6'6", but he was dang close.
Yeah.
He was dang close to that. John Elway is living in the John Gruden era. That's what he is. John. Might as well be brothers.
And this is for all of you, Romo, Witten, GM, head coach, offensive coordinator people. John Elway is a better player. Like, Tony Romo couldn't sniff John Elway's jock. And John Elway is better at what he did than Jason Witten was at what he did. And John Elway is a bum. He's a bum general manager. So before you automatically put Tony Romo on the Cowboys sidelines, and he is great, the talent evaluators that you want these current and former players to be, just remember, John Elway doesn't know what the hell he's doing in evaluating his own position. He has no clue. Michael Jordan has had very little clue. Magic Johnson had zero clue as a head coach. Look at him running the Lakers now and the position that they're in. Magic kind of like Elway. LeBron is his Peyton, and then everything else has gone to S. So just keep that in mind, because John Elway is looking terrible.
Now, I will say one thing about it, though. You know, he could be doing some Browns-esque cap maneuvering here. Remember what they did with Brock Osweiler?
Yes.
Yeah, they got him to cut him.
Well, they gave him that big, massive contract, so he would placehold like $16 million for one season. Mm-hmm. And so the very next season, guess what happened? Boom. A $20 million hole just opened up in your finances, and the Browns had like $70 million to work with. I could see the Broncos doing the same kind of thing here. I think they'll move on from Keenum, cut him, save $10 million, $8 million. There'll still be $10 million of dead cap money. And then Joe Flacco can go at the end of this season. You tie up $28 million in your quarterback position for 2019. You draft the quarterback you want in the future, who you assume slotted based on what he's going to get paid is somewhere around $6 million. You're paying $34 million to the position in 2019. And in 2020, you're paying $6 million to that position, and you just opened up $20 million. That doesn't sound like the worst plan in the world, from my opinion.
Well, they may try a trade case.
Now, for 2019, like, it's a joke. And anybody that's trying to be convinced that the Denver Broncos are going for it by trading for Joe Flacco, that is not what they're doing.
Yeah.
They are maneuvering, though, and making their cap situation a little bit more flexible for 2020. And, I don't think it's the worst move in the world.
I think those are very good points, and I don't say that to you often. Denver does have 2 fourth-round picks. Great job by the Ravens, by the way. Eric DaCosta, that's my guy. He's taking over for Ozzie Newsome, and this is his first deal, and it's a good one. Joe Flacco is on the scrap heap. Like, they announced him dead while the year was going on, and they get a fourth-round pick for him, and this is why John Harbaugh stuck with Lamar Jackson when he was stinking it up in the playoff game, because they had made the decision that Lamar was their guy. Lamar was going to save Harbaugh's job, and he did in the second half of the season, and that's why Joe got up, warmed up, and it did not matter. So, Joe Flacco, I was on analyst alert yesterday. I was waiting to hear any analyst who was praising Flacco or talking about this being a great move for Denver, because I was going to media watchdog them and take them apart and destroy them. And there was only one Mickey Fisher clown in Denver who was defending it, probably because he's stirring Elway's coffee right now.
Well, it's probably because John Elway gave him the breaking news.
Yeah, so
that's probably it was Mike Kliss.
Yeah.
Look, the only thing you can say,
he's a Kliss ass.
Yes, the only thing you can say positive about this is that it's only $18 million. That's it. Like, Joe's not any good, Denver's not going to be any good, and you're getting a quarterback on basically a bargain price.
I hate that you're now getting into my mind of the championship resume.
Oh, I'm in your head.
Like, I was sitting
I'm in
there,
your head, baby.
I was waiting for anyone yesterday. Well, he's won a title, and he's a guy. Playoff wins are hard, and I was just waiting to hear that person, and I heard a few of them.
Like Mike Kliss.
I'm not going to go
The Broncos in their 60-year history have 3 playoff wins in the road. Joe Flacco has 7 road playoff wins.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's move on. Jason Witten was speaking to the media, and he gave a lot of good stuff. Do you want to hear about, well, I guess let's get to the comeback. Ben Rogers, Adam Schefter, both saying there were discussions about Jason Witten leaving the booth during last season, coming on down, helping the Cowboys. They start off asking Witt, how much did you miss the game? How much did you miss football last season?
I mean, I missed the heck out of playing. You know, I think every day when I was a part of the Cowboys, and even before that, I loved the game of football. You know, I love the process of it. I love March. I love training camp. I love getting better and adversity and going through it with guys like, you know, Travis, who's just up here, that sheer commitment part of it. But good team around me. I thought we got a lot better as the season went on. So I think we grew a lot as the year unfolded.
All right. Did you ever really think about coming back? Was that actually a consideration? Or just a magical unicorn Ben Rogers Galaxy report?
No, I mean, look, it would have been hard to do that. I mean, I think in season, the challenge of that. And I think for me, too, look, I mean, those guys did that work. They deserved what they had last year. They put in the time. They were 3-5. They battled back from what they went through. You know, for me, that's where the sense of accomplishment comes from. Not, you know, catching a pass on 3rd and 7. It's all the work that goes into that. That motivates me, and what I take gratification from is doing all the work to get there, not just to come in. And you know, I think that wouldn't have been the right move to come back in the middle of that, even in the midst of wanting to be a part of a playoff run, or as much as I see myself pulling for them. That wasn't a real possibility.
So I still don't know who shut it down. I haven't been able to get confirmation on that. I don't know whether Garrett and the team went to Witten and he shut it down, or Witten went to them and they shut it down. I'm not sure, but there were obviously serious discussions.
I mean, I would hope they saw the talent of Blake Jarwin and were like, guys, we can't upset this.
Right.
We can't go there.
Hey, Blake came on in the end.
He did.
That Giants game, like that magical Giants game that was going to
Jarwin
all the offensive momentum that carried over into the playoffs. I mean, that's where he really broke out.
What fooled you, big man?
He was tremendous.
Yes. Okay, now let's get to Monday night. Was there anything you did not like about Monday night football and that first year with Witt, Tess, and Big?
We took a little criticism, if you didn't know. You know, early on, there was a few words that I used that, you know, didn't really make it rabbit out of a head and had what was the difference, you know? But I think, look, when you come to Dallas as a 20-year-old kid hoping that you can be the best football player you can, you understand it's a big stage. And I think more than anything, you're in a new career. It's all about how you communicate. And I learned a ton this year as I went through it. I think it's the biggest things as I went through this year. I reflected on a lot of things I was taught as a player, you know, just like Jason Garrett, as he stands here today, he really does a phenomenal job of blocking out that noise. You know, all the things that we talk about, and I say we, myself included, he doesn't really listen to those things. He doesn't validate them in a lot of ways. And some people like it, some people don't, but I think when you're in those chairs, you got to be able to kind of see the big picture and where you want to go and how you want to do it. And I think I learned a lot about myself going through that in a new career.
Tell you what, Tess, you saw Aaron Rodgers there. Mm. Blood on his elbow, big old knee brace on, hitting the wrist. It doesn't matter. He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
Man,
it doesn't matter.
Boy, I love it when you get so hyped up that you get that like Hepburn shake voice going. Really works out well.
What shake?
Hepburn.
See, you could have said when you do The Rock, like, it doesn't matter, but instead you brought up Audrey Hepburn.
Who the hell is Catherine? Hepburn? Who the hell? One of the most famous actresses of all time.
Yes.
What's her name?
Catherine Hepburn.
It doesn't matter what her name is. Catherine Hepburn?
Yes, on Golden Pond, I believe it was.
No, I know who she is, but Jesus, RJ.
What do you want me to do? I mean, that's the only one I can think of.
Do a reference from 25 to
There's
54.
Nobody else talks like that.
She died in 2003.
She talked like that because
no
she was old.
Listening who knows that reference.
Referencing a woman
coming
who
up later, the
almost
line.
100 when she died.
The point, Roy, is that nobody talks like that. That was her normal voice.
So Witten is a good sport about it. He knows he was getting roasted. He obviously doesn't listen to this show because he kind of called out RJ at the Super Bowl with like enthusiasm in the hotel lobby.
Yep.
That's when I knew.
See what's up.
That's when I knew he didn't listen. Because he's right.
Yeah, he comes right up to me. What's up, man? How you doing? Oh, what a week. I'm late for a meeting. Yeah. I got to go.
Yeah.
It was like he ran into me, didn't want to do a stop and chat, lied about being late for a meeting, and got out of there as quick as he possibly could. It was a great meeting.
Maybe he does listen, though, if he faked all the meetings and I had to go. Definitely much more sociable than Tony.
Way more.
Tony is walking around with his cool trench coat and his black starter hat. And
backwards, of course.
Sitting in a
it was forwards.
Yeah,
was
sitting away from the crowd at the bar.
That's right.
He's got to get his little side. He got a little table in the corner.
That's right. At least Bill Cowher and Phil Simms embraced us. At least.
Well, Phil had to be close to the bar, otherwise he wasn't going to be able to get his sixth scoop of ice cream sundae.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.